Great. Well, welcome, Hardeep Kaur. It's so lovely to have you. We are here today with Hardeep from Per Se London, and we are going to be talking about goal setting and planning and balancing, which are things I've always thought that you do incredibly well, but also things that you do actually as a business. So maybe just to start off, if you could just tell us a little bit about what is it you do? What is Per Se London?
Sure. Well, Bridget, firstly, it's an honour to be here. Thank you for taking the time and for the compliment. I hope I can live up to that as well. So, Per Se London is a design studio that I established with my twin sister, Mandy, back in 2016. And the premise of this really was about building a story which was made up of individual objects. So, it's a design company first and foremost. We make physical products. Also other products too, but we'll discuss that later perhaps. But it's really about how can we engage with and make and live with individual objects of meaning. So we started off with coats, with outerwear, having one singular silhouette, which we would update every few months, limited edition. We would only source specific fabrics. Individuals would place orders, we would then make the product. So the idea was to have as little waste as possible, leave as little as a footprint as possible. And again, it's about how can you engage with what you buy in the deepest way possible. And over time, we have evolved that. And we obviously have our latest product, which is the Learner, a journal. And that is the same message again, really, for us about a conscious life. And this time, it's less about what you're wearing, it's about what you're carrying within you. So it's the experiences that you gather day to day. Where is the home for those experiences apart from memory, which is a slippery thing? So the journal is a wonderful tool for you to sort of see yourself written at large as you go through your life, day to day, month to month. And so that's really been the journey of us expressing this value system of a conscious life and less is more through physical products.
And so tell me a little bit, because I met you obviously originally when you were working at Cartier. So tell me about that journey and how you started the company, how you got the confidence. I'm sure you already had the confidence, but how you decided, okay, I'm gonna, leave formal work and I'm gonna start this with my sister.
Sure. And I think that's a great question because I think in this time we find ourselves in, that seems to be more of the common equation. Instead of having the one career, we have several careers, several chapters, even within one role. So when we met, as you said, working at a very storied and beautiful historical jeweler, and one of the things that I really loved about my role at Cartier was the storytelling. It really was about the craft and the people behind the craft and how those stories are brought to life and then became objects in people's lives. And that's something I've loved since I've studied literature. So that's my beating heart is the written word and the experience of the written word. And I had an inherent sense within me that the idea of communicating with others, creating something of impact, was just meaningful to me overall. So over the time at Cartier, Mandy and I had already dabbled in our own business. You know, we had started off with an outerwear brand specifically, nothing else, a really small collection, and something we would only update perhaps, you know, once every sort of 6 months or something. A very different business model, something that buyers weren't already very familiar with, and we typically had only two to three silhouettes that we were focusing on instead of a brand newness every single time. So we had a taste for it. It was an interest we both shared of creating something unique and with meaning and depth. So we had the sense for that. And then what led to us actually finally going ahead and forming Per Se was a real look at our own culture, our own way of buying, and what we thought we could uniquely contribute. And the final piece, especially for me, is that I just have responsibility to my own life in making sure that I build something of meaning connection for myself. So the expression of that is to have a business because you have autonomy, you can create the story, you are the one sourcing the product, and along the way you get to meet these incredible people. So actually it was a slow and gradual process, but it was typically following our intuition and then building knowledge as we went along. So if we needed to source manufacturers, if we had to take courses in pattern cutting, if we had to find manufacturers for our journal, it was sort of on the job learning because we had a larger purpose that was driving us forward. And the allure of that really was a sense of freedom. And I think when you have a big goal like that, a really big, deep drive to have a certain type of life, then the goals start to meet themselves.
And that's fascinating. And because today's conversation is, partially around sort of goal setting, and you mentioned freedom and having that autonomy and setting up your own business, but tell me a little bit, about balancing that. Was there ever that feeling of sort of untetheredness and, the not having the, paycheck coming in every month and having to, I can't really imagine this from you, but, people sort of say, oh, you're a freelancer. So do you just get up and watch Netflix every day? How do you structure your life and balance your schedule every day?
Sure. And I think, again, what people often will say to us in response to something we are doing is a reflection of their own sense of self and approach in the world. So I tend to have a little coy smile if people would say that. But as you're very right, people very rarely say that to me. So again, it really comes down to an underlying meaningful, and we'll use the word goal because that is the nature of our conversation, but really what is the driving sense of what you are doing. And whether it's building a business, whether it's to do with a specific relationship, how you want it to evolve, whether it's a very specific role you're playing with at work, a specific project, just step back. What does it represent? How does it fit into the larger story of what you're trying to build, you're trying to create, you're trying to be? Really grounded in something. Because I think that matters above all. It's very hard to convince your mind to do something because it's a funny thing. It will not take you seriously unless you take yourself seriously. And the mind will really do that for you. And that's where the seat of habits exist as well. They sit within your biology and your neurology, less so your psychology. So the prefrontal cortex will say, okay, this morning I'm going to wake up, I'm going to work out, I'm going to have breakfast, then I'm going to sit down in front of my computer, I'm going to, achieve these 10 things on my list. And then the morning comes round and, you're already in bed and you're hesitating because the front of the brain, the rational thinking part of the brain said, yeah, I know what I need to do because I want to launch my website. I want to have this PowerPoint ready for my client for the end of the week. But there's a vacillation. That's because over time, what's happened is that the brain is really just trying to protect you from change because change is unknown, right? So whether we chose to launch our own business, we've never done that before. It's not something that our parents inculcated within us. So the brain is always protecting to you. So it'll say, you know what, you could go for that run or you could try to have a healthy breakfast. But we know already what makes you feel really good. It's just having a really slow morning. So don't worry about getting to those tasks. Just, sit down with a cup of tea for an hour, put something on, maybe it'll just relax you into the day. And that's where you really have to have that deep mindset. So for Mandeep and I will speak for myself very specifically with per se, as I said, it was building a business that I could see flourish and grow, build connection and meaning for myself foremost, and then launch it out into the world and have an impact on other people who wish to live that way as well. So that's a really big goal for me. So anything else downstream of that is in service to that. So that helps me be very clear on what I need to do. So whether it's with the learner, which is the journal, I had decided we had the physical coat, one of our initial editions of a product. I said, okay, I'd like to have a different product now to express this value system that more people can access. What does that look like? I looked at my own life and I use journals significantly. I have so many notebooks coming out of my ears. I have one in front of me now. I am a written and spoken word individual. So I decided, okay, I have an ideal journal that I would like to make. Again, I want to make it because it's going to service my own need and desire to build something with connection and meaning. And it's also going to serve a purpose of allowing other people to live in such a manner. Again, I feel that goal inside of me at a very fundamental, deep level. It's not about I need to have a new product, I need to have something new to talk about, I need to have something to be visible on my social media. Those are minor things and they will just happen, but go deep first. So that's how I set goals downstream, is starting with my really big why, and everything else does flow from that.
That is such a brilliant and cool answer. Thank you so much. And I wonder, so you mentioned about your, sort of an industrious writer and journaler, and you have notebooks, coming out of every corner of your home, which I don't quite believe, I'm sure. But I wonder, tell me about developing the learner, because I sort of imagine, as you said, you sort of pulled every bit you've learned and thought about and exactly what you need and what you want. So what is in there? What was your perfect journal?
So the learner really lives up to this concept that I deeply believe in is being a lifelong learner. Hence why the learner came very quickly, very easily. And Bridget, I can commend you for being one of those individuals. It's like you go into the face of change because you know you'll be able to learn to meet that change. And being in control of your own state of learning and development is incredibly empowering because that's something you can do at any single moment. That is in nobody's hands apart from your own. So that concept of the lifelong learner runs deep, and that's why it's called the learner. So that was the premise. And what I had discerned over time is that I enjoyed taking many courses. I read deeply. I take several notes. And so I have individual notebooks dedicated to books that I read, courses that I take, essays that I'm writing. So I have all of the depth there. But I am a natural writer. It's something I've developed over time as well, but words have really been my message. But I know that's not the case with every individual. I know that often people will find the idea of writing something down a little bit daunting, even. And so my desire of this was to take my own personal love and the benefits I felt of journaling, but to really make it incredibly accessible, firstly. Secondly, it really was not only about where could I create this kind of private laboratory where you really see yourself reflected in the pages. Because only when you write something down do you get a reflection. It's really like there's no way do you ever get a reflection of your face in a mirror unless you have your face in a mirror. It sounds really peculiar, right? It's like a vampire. You need to have something to reflect back at you. And that's what the learner is meant to be. So it allows you to write down, whether it's every day, every week or every month, specific things that have moved and touched you. So what have you read? What have you seen? What have you discovered? What have you heard? So it's about using the senses to tune into your day-to-day experiences and actually writing those down, things that have impacted you. So you have one page which is very clear. You have those four bullets. You can write the date at the top. I often like a chapter, I will write a few words, something like ants the size of whales, because it will just sum up like a story. I'm always writing my own story. And like this was a chapter in one of my books. It just helps me frame it, but no one else has to do that. That's my own quirk. You write the date and then you have these four bullets. And really, you just sit down. What have I read recently that was impactful? What have I seen? What exhibition did I go to? What documentary have I seen? What have I heard? Has there been a piece of music that's really moved me or someone recommended? A dear friend recommended, I want to make note of it. Did I hear a snatch of conversation from someone that was impactful, for example? And the final thing is, what have I discovered? And this is as open and as broad as the day is long and wide. So you have that on one side. On the other side of the page, you open it out as a flat lay. You either have free thinking, so you really just write anything you want to do. Could be a shopping list. It could be, I've just listened to an incredible podcast and I want to pursue further resources. I'll write it down there. Or I will have questions pitted in there every so often. I do believe in quotes from other individuals. I do believe in extracting value from what people say. So there will be questions that will rouse some kind of thinking. So, what is a problem I'm trying to solve that I cannot at the moment? Why? Those kinds of questions that will pull you out of your day-to-day and actually confront some of the things you're trying to figure out. So that's the broad structure and it repeats itself throughout. And just for the fun of it, people who have it and they do reorder, they do love to buy it and to gift it because there is something alluring about it. I have this adage and it's very common, don't believe everything you think. You can really be influenced by what people say, the environment you find yourself in, the context within which you discover things. And that comes down to psychology as well as neuroscience. So, peppered throughout the journal, as well as you recording your own experiences, there will be these really fun and interesting statistics around the ability of the brain to be influenced in certain ways that just helps us as we go through to feel that actually we're part of quite a complex machine. So don't ever sort of fool yourself in thinking there's something inherently within you that doesn't allow you to, say, achieve goals or do things. We're just very impressionable beings living in a very impressionable world. So I'd like to just pepper that into the journal as well.
That is so true. And I think I'm one of the lucky people who was given one of the very first versions of the learner. But I wonder, not to sort of put you on the spot, but what are some of the things that you have learned specifically? What, you know, what have you discovered about yourself? And tell me a little bit about your journey, seeing your life reflected in the learner.
That's a fantastic question. And I relish asking myself this because it is both very life affirming and also it's a great point for me to then think of what to change. So one thing I do note is I am of an introspective nature and very ruminative, which people may be able to tell, which I really relish and enjoy. But I did also note over time as I make a record of things that I really enjoy. So I love going to the cinema, watching documentaries. I enjoy certain types of classical music. And I have a very intellectual sort of life as well. I do go very deep into reading papers and studies that have come out across various themes. But I was noting that there was a little less action in how I was living. So activities where I was actually in my body versus in my mind. And this is a process of where I would look back over the course of, you know, 3 weeks, something like that. Because if I'm doing my journal every day or every other day, you do have a good point of data. And when I'd be looking at what have I seen or what have I discovered or what I heard, again, they were all the pursuits that felt very familiar to me and felt quite safe to me. And so that was a very good point for me to like, okay, I actually need to get into my body. I need to do things where I'm not always in control and always cultivating my surrounding. And so this, you know, leads me to often, you know, go and join a running group in Hyde Park, for example, or go out where people will play chess in the park and just go and sit and you don't know who you're going to meet. My level is still beginner, but it's really sort of moving the body into unknown scenarios instead of me always leading with my brain into unknown scenarios.
Well, Hardy, I feel you've really done my job for me because I feel like you've also really encapsulated what Una series is all about, you know, that sort of wellness and, you know, being happy and being whole is about, you know, mental, physical movement. Actually, one of the things that we love to speak about at Una series is just movement and moving your body. And so you've really sort of touched on that and how actually important that is to just sort of living a sort of copacetic and, you know, happy, fulfilled life, and even sort of stimulating yourself mentally by having that physical side as well. But sort of a, well, hopefully not a silly question, but so per se, I mean, obviously I know what that word means, you know, the definition of it, but what does that mean? You know, why did you call the business that?
The concept of it really is in itself, of itself. And that's how I think of the individual, is that you are in command of your individual state of being. You are in command of your own approach to how you learn and live and love. You're an individual unit all by itself, fully contained, and you have the depth and multitude within you. And then you can go out into the world and, in the form of epigenetics, allow things to turn on with the right sort of exposure, but really someone being in themselves, of themselves, completely full and unique. So that's where I would say the word per se comes to life for us.
And then, again, this conversation, we really wanted to, you know, share some insight into, you know, people who live fascinating lives like you do and who balance a lot of different, you know, careers and businesses and thoughts and you sort of do it all so effortlessly and with glamour and, you know, sort of poise. So tell me, this isn't the only thing you do. You have lots of different balls spinning. Tell me a little bit about, you know, your career as a whole right now.
Sure. So as we said, per se really is the umbrella, it is the beating heart. And that really is the product design studio where we bring individual ideas to life through manufacture. And then there are two other core parts of the business. One is Cerebration.tv, and obviously celebrate is to think. Unsurprisingly, a concept that I find really fascinating, and we do every single moment of our day. And it really is a place where I am curating impactful and meaningful content, let's say, for the broadest word, that I have come across through my entire life, which I think other individuals could find beneficial. So these could be essays, podcasts, they could be writings from 2,000 years ago, they could be from today. And again, it's just having this base level of knowledge and information and ways of thinking differently. And it's also a place where I will typically post up my own individual nonfiction writing about things that I have been reading or thinking about. Because unless you have individuals in your life who similarly are on that journey of taking ownership of their own state of being, have a desire to cultivate them themselves, it can feel a little bit lonely and quiet. So this really is a meeting point for minds who are intrigued by a life of depth and meaning and just taking what they find of benefit. So that's Cerebration.tv. And the third thing that I'm doing, and I've just made it available publicly. I mean, I do have a wait list, but it's a program where I formalized over many years this idea of informal mentors. So over several years, I have had so many conversations with people, whether they say, I'm at a crossroads in my career, I have this opportunity, or this circumstance happens to me in my work. I'm trying to build a life where I want to feel a little bit slower or connected. And these are often entrepreneurs and friends of mine with businesses, but I'm so used to the adrenaline. I'm so used to being the one who finds solutions. How do I break out of this? And so I have been doing this for a really long time. And after much prompting, I've opened it out. And again, as I said, it's already waitlisted. So the concept is informal mentors for all. You know, who is it in your life that perhaps, you know, isn't a friend, isn't a family member, doesn't know you, but you just come to me and say, this is something I'm working on. This is something I'd like to just improve. I have a feeling I may have hit a wall or a plateau. And I do what I do best, which is ask clarifying questions. You'll realize you have much of the answers already within you, even if you have not articulated them to yourself. That can be tough. I add a bit of structure, and based off my own experiences and how I live, I can give you suggestions and set you on your way. So that's the third piece of what I do. I just call it Talk with H. That's lots of my family members call me H, very simple. And I have it discreetly nestled within my Instagram, which is Ants the Size of Whales. So those are the three pieces, but every single individual project really is about how do you live a more sort of conscious and meaningful life, whatever that means to you.
Well, I think I'm going to put myself on that wait list.
Please do. And as I said, it's really not about me. All of the work is meaningful to me. It brings me energy and joy and connection. But every individual has that within them. And everyone is on that journey along the way. And it just brings me great joy and delight in exchanging with individuals. So please come, most welcome always.
Well, I'm glad it gives you delight, but it's also a great skill to sort of be able to, you know, tease that out of people and just sort of, you know, I guess sort of like almost sort of looking not down upon some, but sort of looking at the big picture and seeing perhaps what they're not seeing. And, you know, that really is a, you know, a very impressive skill. But where I thought we'd sort of close off our conversation today was you mentioned something to me earlier that I just thought was absolutely brilliant and maybe sort of encapsulate something about you and the learner and what you do, that whenever somebody pops into your brain, you message them, even, you know, if you saw them yesterday or 6 years ago. Tell me a little bit about that and perhaps maybe one or two anecdotes, if you have any, of what that's brought for you.
Yes. So I've decided just to follow my intuition. This was also something I have done for a period of time, but now I just do it across the board. So whether you are that lucky stranger on the street that my intuition tells you just to smile or say good morning, then you are a product of my intuition, just going with it. So please reciprocate warmly. But it is very true. So over the course of the day, in the brain, when it is in conversation with you and with itself, names and people, faces will come up. And often, yes, these are people we're working with day to day. They could be our family members, but there will always be those people that either are friends, near and dear, we just haven't been in touch with, or, you know, distant friends, distant cousins. And I do have this, and people will just pop up and populate in my mind. And we had this too, right? So I have known you for a long time now, right? And we come in and out of our lives, which is wonderful and enriching. And literally it just came up, Bridget, I wonder how Bridget is doing. And I messaged you and you said, that's so funny. But yesterday I was talking to you, talking about you to another friend. And off that line, I've had that so many times where I will reach out, and I have a really good friend I met over nearly 15 years ago, randomly, and she lives in Yorkshire, I'm in London. And I just had a feeling, I was like, oh, you haven't checked in with your friend, Rani, recently. Why don't you just message her, say, hi, how are you doing? You just popped into my mind. Hope things are going well. And if we, you know, hope you're having a really nice week, just very relaxed. Just, oh, you know what's so nice? Can I call you? Because I just want to have a chat with someone. Things have been a little bit tough. And I just get lost in my day to day. And we had a really nice chat, and we hadn't spoken. And this is a friend I normally meet face to face, and maybe we meet every 6 months or something. And now we speak probably every 2 weeks on the phone now from that, because again, who knows what's going on in your world? Who knows what's going in mine? But there is something in you that will say, you know, why don't you just reach out? And I have 100% success rate in reaching out, because who doesn't want to be remembered? Who doesn't want to just have a little knock on the tap on the shoulder? Oh, hi, how are you? I'm really well. Or, yeah, you know, why don't we reconnect? Or, I'm so well, it's nice to hear from you, and you leave it at that.
Well, it's so true, because it is, it's such a sort of lovely, and it sounds so almost ridiculous that it is sort of an unexpected thing, but it really is such a lovely thing. And when we're, you know, we live in this bizarre world where we're so connected and we're so in constant contact with people, but often it's a sort of very small, you know, group of maybe three people who were, you know, our parents or our boyfriend or, you know, our sister, but those sort of, you know, faces and friends who you've met along the way, to have someone just sort of say, you know, pop up, hey. And also it's so, you know, nice that it's just, it is literally, it's just, hey, how are you? You know, often those, hey, how are you, come with another layer where it's, hey, how are you? Oh, and by the way, can you do X, Y, Z for me? Which can be not such a nice feeling, but just a genuine, hey, how are you?
Yeah.
There is something just so wonderful about
that. I completely agree. Because again, as I said, you know, I have a very rich interior life, right? And I have a twin sister with Mandeep, and I'm part of a big Indian family. You know, we're five siblings all together. And so I already have incredible people around me that I'm very lucky to have been born with, and a close-knit team of friends that I'm very, very happy to have, and I actively cultivate. But it's such a big world, and one of the things I'm always thinking of, I would just never get to meet everyone. So the ones I'm fortunate enough to have met, you know what, why not turn up every once in a while?
Well, that is such a lovely way to sort of go about life, and, you know, really refreshing, because sometimes you do get, yeah, bogged down where it does feel like things can be quite transactional, and actually that's almost sort of the opposite of transactional, and it's just, yeah, it's really like refreshing. But it's been lovely speaking with you today. I'm so glad that I popped into your brain. And that is sort of, yeah, what brought us here today. And yeah, a huge thank you, and, you know, congratulations for everything that you're doing.
Thank you, Bridget. It really has been a wonderful, wonderful thing to speak with you and to explore these ideas. And as we say, you just don't know where spontaneous acts will take you. So embrace one for today, if that's you listening.
Absolutely.